Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Chase Hines. It is my privilege to have been working here at Erickson Covenant over the past year and a half. First as a intern, but now as a pastoral resident. Have you ever received a gift? Or sorry, have you ever given a gift to someone? Something that you know this person will love. Something that you've spent time thinking, oh, what is it? What am I going to get them? Oh, I know. You've wrapped it up so nicely. You've even written a personal message. Only for them to not really see you. Not to acknowledge you as the giver. Maybe they say, oh, this gift is awesome. Maybe they don't even acknowledge anything. Maybe you have been that person. I know I have at times. I was focused on the wrong thing. I was focused on the gift when my focus should have been on the giver. Where they put all this time and effort into a gift for me, and I miss out on who is giving it. Today's culture seems to be all about me. Take what you can get every advantage you can use, and if you end an interaction with more than what you began with, you've won. But Jesus' teaching is quite the opposite. Now, in our story today, in Luke, we see Jesus. He heals 10 men of a terrible skin condition. His amazing gift is received by 9 men who take it and run. But we learn from one who returns to Jesus to give praise and thanksgiving and worship. We're going to begin our reading from our passage today in Luke 17. We're going to start at verse 11. And I invite you to follow along in either your own Bible, one found in one of the seats behind you, or the Bible app. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. So Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, down in Judea, from Galilee, way up top. And which is where Jesus did a lot of his ministry. The main road that Jesus and his disciples would travel runs along the border to avoid passing through Samaria, which it's directly between the two. The Jews avoided Samaritans due to deep contention over ancestry, scripture, and worship, which led to hostility between the two groups, which is why when the Jews traveled between them, they avoided Samaria. Here, in the middle of nowhere, Jesus meets these 10 men who have leprosy, living outside of the city, and quarantining due to the contagious nature of their condition. Luke references leprosy as the condition of these men, which carries certain connotations for us today. Leprosy today is also known as Hansen's disease. It affects the whole body and parts can start falling off if it gets too bad. But when it's referenced in the Bible, leprosy is referenced as a wider range of skin conditions, which probably still included Hansen's disease. Leviticus 13 explains the laws surrounding these skin conditions. When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot on their skin that may become an infectious skin condition, he must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who are priests. Once brought to the priest, they would examine the sore on the skin and they would diagnose it. And the priest, upon seeing it, that the sore is in fact an infectious skin condition, would declare the victim unclean so long as they had the disease. The only way that they could be declared clean after this would be returning to the priest free from the illness, which did not happen very often. But that is not all. Leprosy was not just an illness, but it was an exile. When declared unclean from an infectious skin disease, the victim would be removed from the camp or the city to live on the borders, away from society. They would tear their clothes, expressing their distress, and they would shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" to any who may walk near. They were outcast. Outside of these city walls, these people are unable to participate in temple worship. They are no longer a functioning member of society. This law around contamination, separating the contaminated person, is meant to keep God's people pure and healthy, because it is contagious. And anyone with this disease had to remain separated. So leprosy is not merely a physical ailment, but a complete severance from their people and holy spaces or practices. These 10 men whom Jesus meets share a suffering which exceeds ethnicity. They are quarantined with the same condition, unable to be near or interact with other people. So why wouldn't they interact in this group? Why wouldn't they flock together? Each of them have been exiled, sent away from their home, their people, and possibly never to return. These men are living in desperation, uncertainty, and instability. They are unable to work, unable to worship in the temple, and unable to help their condition. For their very survival, they depend on the charity of others, while they wait in uncertainty to see if their condition worsens. I could not imagine the mental suffering of these men. They cry out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity." They've heard of this man Jesus. They've heard of the stories of his healing. And these stories have spread widely throughout Galilee, Judea, and the surrounding regions. They recognize that this man, Jesus, has the authority to change their situation through mercy. although they do not fully understand Jesus, they cry out. Through desperation and through hope, they cry, mercy. Desperation of the hopelessness of where they are, but still with the hope that this man can and will change their situation. And Jesus hears their cry. It is his desire to see them healed. He tells them to show themselves to the priests because, as we said earlier, in Jewish culture, it is the duty of the priest to declare one clean or unclean. And if the symptoms of leprosy are absent, then that person can be restored into society through a cleansing ritual. We'll continue in verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Luke shows us something subtle, but life-changing. The difference between the 1 and the 9 is not gratitude, but worship. Now, if you're going to remember one thing today, let this be it. Thanksgiving rejoices in the gift, whereas worship and praise recognize the giver. Jesus healed the man, restored him of a life sore, alone, and on the borders of society. Of course, he will give thanks. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. He can't give enough thanks. He gives thanks for the action that Jesus took to heal him. But this man also praises God. Now, praise does not only have to do with action taken, but it is from the character of the giver in which praise is given. This man praises God for who he is, not just what he's done. He acknowledges the goodness and the authority of God. This man, who was unable to worship at the temple, now comes to Jesus, straight to Jesus, to worship and thank God. This man did not put the priority of returning to his old life in the city above that of praising and worshiping God. There was something we glanced over. He was a Samaritan? As we mentioned earlier, there was a deep hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. This came from religious disputes, and yet this Samaritan falls at the feet of a Jew. Not only that, he is the only one to return. By Jesus' surprise in the scripture, we can imply that there are at least some Jews in this group, and the least expected of them all, the Samaritan, the foreigner, gave praise and worship to God. Next, Jesus tells this man to rise and to go. Your faith has made you well. Jesus' healing is not merely to heal physically. He does, but there's more. It always comes with a spiritual healing or lesson. Another word for well in this passage is saved. Rise and go. Your faith has saved you. A saved which references salvation. But what did this man do to earn salvation? Nothing. And yet, he returns. And it is because of his return that his faith is revealed. And it is by his faith which Jesus tells him that he is saved. The other nine missed the memo. Jesus is out here giving out salvation. But they were too focused on the gift. A good gift. But they were too focused on the gift that they missed out on the giver. The nine were healed physically. Of that, there's no doubt. But the one who returned to give praise received so much more for his faith. A restored relationship with and recognition of God's presence in Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a pause here. Those of you who know me know that I absolutely adore J.R.R. Tolkien's writings in Lord of the Rings. There's a wonderful passage in the Lord of the Rings third volume, sorry. And it's called The Return of the King. The hands of a king are the hands of a healer, and so shall the rightful king be known. It speaks of a man named Aragorn, who is the rightful heir to the throne of Gondor due to his ancient lineage. But this claim would get him killed if he were to come bursting into the sitting saying, "Bow before me, I am the king." Yeah, that might not go over so well. What he does is he instead keeps his identity hidden, which is interesting. During this time, though, he isn't just twiddling his thumbs. Da-da-da. He actually goes out and fights for the city of Gondor in this huge battle against the evil of Middle-earth. The evil in Middle-earth. And this is not all that Aragorn does. After this battle, there are many wounded soldiers and citizens. And Aragorn sees this pain and this injury. And he enters the city in disguise to heal. Now, someone looking at him from the street might not recognize him as king. They won't recognize him as king. But to anyone he touches with his hands of healing, know his kingship. Aragorn is not recognized as king through great acts of power, but through his hands of healing, through which reveal his character. Jesus travels quietly, not proclaimed as a king and definitely not recognized by many. 10 men in need cry out to Jesus, and 10 are healed. Just as many benefited from Aragorn's healing without fully knowing who he is. But there's one, a foreigner, a Samaritan, who returns and he falls at Jesus' feet in praise and thanksgiving. Not only does the Samaritan acknowledge the miracle, the amazing miracle of 10 men with leprosy being healed at the same time, but he also recognizes through the miracle who Jesus is. Like those in the houses of healing, who perceive Aragorn's kingship through his hands, the Samaritan perceives Jesus' kingship through his mercy rather than spectacle. It is who God is to give gifts. We must not put our focus or hope in the gifts, but in God as a person. in God's person. If you have a friend who constantly gives you gifts, showers you with gifts every week, every day, and then suddenly they stopped giving gifts, would you break that relationship off? By no means. At least I hope not. That is because you love them for who they are, not just by the gifts that they give. Jesus has a deep desire for us to know him. Not just by the gifts he gives, but by his unconditional love, so that we may love him unconditionally. It is his character to bless us from his goodness. We must remember, however, that his gifts are not his goodness, but they come from his goodness. It is who God is to love us. He desires us to be in relationship with him, to love him, and to be loved by him. It is his desire for us to have salvation. He wants us to be healed, and he wants us to be with him. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Over in 1 John, we learn that God is love. And we love God because he loved us first. Therefore, it is because of who God is that we love him in return. It is because of who God is that we should fall at his feet in praise. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're the one who needs to cry out to Jesus in pain or in suffering. Maybe you're the one who has received a gift and has yet to praise God. Or maybe you are the one falling at Jesus' feet, praising him and thanking him for his gifts and for who he is. Jesus heard the cries of the men in the story. Jesus heard our cries. When we were caught up in our sin, Jesus saw us. He came to us. And out of the gift of mercy, he defeated sin once and for all on that cross. God gave this gift out of his character. He gave this gift because of who he is. This is why we should fall at his feet. Not because of the gifts that he gives, but because of who he is. That is why we should fall at his feet and call him Lord, for he is powerful. He is awesome. He is mighty. And above all, he is good.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.